Thank you. Our next public hearing is conditional use number 1729, Paige Melson.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwelling structure, proposing two units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 43,558 square feet, more or less, lying west of Route 5, 700 feet south of Route 9. For the benefit of the commission, I'm passing down a copy of the survey and site plan for this application. Received three agency comments. First one being from the Department of Transportation in the form of a support facilities report, making reference to Indian Mission Road from Route 4, Road 48 to U.S. Route 9, also referred to as Route 18, also referred to as Route 404 on occasion. Traffic impact study was not recommended. The present level of service is level of service C and will not be changed as a result of this application. The information sent to DLDOT for comments showed the tax map and location and reference apartment multifamily. From the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, received today in the form of a memorandum which makes reference to this application, the location, the tax map number, the proposed two units, size of the parcel. This site is located in the North Coastal Planning Area. They note that an individual on-site septic system is proposed to serve the two units, and that the proposed project is not in an area where Sussex County currently has plans to provide sewer service, and that a concept plan is not required. And that's signed by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. The third is from the Sussex Conservation District in a form of a memorandum dated March 3rd. The soil type is Pepper Box Rosedale Complex. The applicant would be required to follow erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation. There are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected. It may not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements. The applicant would be required to follow all state sediment and stormwater requirements for any construction. Attached to that memorandum is a copy of an aerial infrared, actually two, one being soil types, with a report on the map legend on the soils and also a reference to prime and other important farmland. And that's all I have, gentlemen. Unless you have questions.
All right, sir. We thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Willard.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, gentlemen. Tim Willard with Fuqua and Urey here in Georgetown representing Mr. Melson. This is Paige Melson. He was a businessman in Rehoboth for many years, owned a funeral home there, and moved to Harbison. Bought some property there about 8 years, and there are two applications for conditional use to make an apartment for a garage apartment, and we'll obviously deal with them separately.
Okay.
The first one is 1729, conditional use 1729, which deals with a property on the west side of the Harbison Road, I call it, on the same side as the Allen property. It's 43,000 square feet, almost an acre. Since I have a brief submission and just application or some information in support. Everything, and I respect your rule 5.3. In fact, we sent out notice to all our engineer clients saying planning and zoning wants stuff 10 days, not 72 hours.
Right.
I just recently met Mr. Melson and trying to help him out in this, and so I put this together. It's everything I say that's in the public domain, but for a petition that was signed by about 10 individuals in the neighborhood and proposed conditions. So I'm just asking for a waiver from the chair.
I'll let Mr. Hand it up to Mr. Robertson and let him look at it and see what
typically, if
photographs and things we've allowed,
thing that's that are in the file anyway, like the application, if it's just.
But just real briefly, it's
consolidated.
It's photograph. It's the site plan, which is already in there, in the survey.
But if you would just let Mr. Robertson take a look at one, and he'll tell
us. The one that says chairman on it is very special because it's got a color photograph.
Oh, gee.
I'll set that one aside. How about that?
Yeah, I'm lucky.
Mr. Fuquay doesn't want me to waste ink, I guess, huh?
I understand.
Okay. Are the floor plans and everything in the file?
No. It's got the survey site plan.
Okay.
The document after that is the part of the building permit application.
Okay.
There are no floor plans that were required. We can. Then it just has actually a portion of the comp plan, the proposed comp plan, language from the proposed comp plan and the petition.
I don't have a problem with this, gentlemen, just because there's things.
Okay, let's pass them down then. Let's take a look at them. Right. Sure.
I know there are a couple individuals in the public hearing that I spoke to briefly that are going to probably speak in opposition, and I didn't, I don't think it's anything that they don't.
If there's anyone here in opposition, if you'd like to have a copy of this, please come up and I'll give you mine.
Just for the benefit of those folks,
I got an extra, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, then, if you would.
The reason I say that, too, is the petition that's submitted, that's something that's really from third parties, so that would be accepted right up to the top.
Yeah, that's not from the applicant anyway.
So, it'll all be made part of the record.
Okay.
Well, and I'm going to use this sort of for purposes of my presentation. This is Mr. Melson's asking for a conditional use to make the apartment that's in the rear of the property, which is 40 by 10, to be used as a two-bedroom apartment. It's the garage. I'm sorry, it's the garage. And there would be two bedrooms and a kitchen, living room area up top, and the garage downstairs would be used at that. What you have first in your package is a picture of the property looking north from a vacant side yard. Mr. Melson has spent a fairly good effort in fixing up the property, and as you can see, I think it's in pretty good condition, and I wanted you to see what it looked like. The issue of inspections and things like that is still out there. This is and if this was done properly, we'd be here probably first before this was all done. So he's sort of going along probably backwards on it, but I make it clear he wants to do what's right. They've done some inspections and they're pending. He got building permit to build the property, but it's obviously not appropriately zoned to have two dwellings. It's MR, which it calls for single family dwellings. You have next the survey with the site plan. The garage that was rebuilt was built exactly on the footprint that exists before, but for the fact that it's 10 feet longer in the back. The original garage was 30 by 30, and as you can see, this one's 40 by 30. Mr. Melson tells me, and I think the opposition here may dispute it, but he indicates that it was outfitted for an apartment and had water and sewer to it in the past. One might argue, well, why didn't we just do a non-conforming use, or if somebody objected, it could be. Well, in this particular case, we actually, although he built on the footprint, he built a structure slightly bigger. I have that old survey if you'd like to see it, but it's 30 by 40. That's what the structure looks like. You also have a picture of it, so you can see in the site plan, you can see there's plenty of parking in the front for it, and it's all impervious, but I think it's crushed stone or some kind of rock. As far as the site plan, the tax map, that is whether or not having a single person or a couple or a family in the back, whether that would adversely affect the neighborhood, you can see what's going on there. Harbison's County, it's not an incorporated town, but as the people that live there will tell you, it's much like a town, and there are homes all along there. But there's commercial also at the corner. There's a graveyard, the community center. I think it's the HVAC building across the street. And you can see by the tax map what's going on. Right in the backyard, in the back adjacent to this, the back lot, is industrial. So there's a lot of mixed use there, which we submit to you would, if by having one more unit in the back for an apartment, would not adversely affect the surrounding area or property. I know the opposition may disagree on that, but that's our position by what's going on around there. I've also included a map of the proposed comp plan. You know, it's not some argue whether the existing one's law, so I'm going one step further. But what is clear is the county and what they're kicking around now has identified Harbison at last, because it's the reality. See, it's all in yellow there. And that's going to be, if it is passed and confirmed by the state, your developing district. Right across the street is the yellow abuts purple, which is industrial. What does that mean? That means it's recognized as a developing area. It's recognized in an area that calls for a variety of housing types, including townhouses, garden apartments, and multifamily. And I think what's good about this application is it's conditional use. You can put conditions on it, but that he's made the effort. So nothing really changed. It looks like a house with a sort of a garage in the back, and it's used instead of being, you know, for tractors and things like that, might be for another individual to live there. I also have a petition, and you can see the addresses of those petitions. Some are PO boxes, but Mr. Melson's made the effort to talk to these individuals, or at least get them to sign these. And he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 signatures of people that live right in that area along that street. There are obviously a couple individuals here that live, I think, about a tenth of a mile away that object to it. And I think Mr. Melson was aware of some of their objections. And I introduced myself before to see if there was something we could do. And they have concerns about the nature of the area, which we just genuinely disagree with. I mean, traditionally, yes, single family, but it's more of a mixed area now with industrial and commercial. I've offered proposed conditions. Mr. Melson has got to go through other hurdles. If you think that he's at least gotten to a point where he's demonstrated what he wants to do, but he still needs, obviously, permission to do it. And if you approve a conditional use, we're saying that it would be limited to a family of five at the maximum. You know, ideally it might be just a single person or something like that. You know, if you want to limit it further. And that's what some people have concerns with, that you're going to pack, you know, 20 people in there. We're saying, fine, limit it. Limit it to two automobiles. You've got plenty of parking there. In addition, these buildings were probably the houses were built probably 40 years ago. I don't have the documentation on that. Mr. Melson says they had garages there. There was an existing septic. I've had litigation in Sussex County with houses that are 50, 60 years old. Nobody's sure really what is there. But what is clear is that for Mr. Melson to move forward, even if you say yes, this condition, these dimensions, one family is okay, that he'll have to get the proper approvals from DENREC and the wells. He's had two wells that were drilled there, one by Duffy, the other by American. They've been permitted through them, but for the final inspection, you'd have to get that. I know the neighbors have concerns about that, or the people that live down the street, and that's something that I know you can't dictate, but you can certainly put it as a condition, and we have, you know, no problem with that. You know, you have the benefit of seeing what he wants to do, because he's already got the thing under construction. He's still got to go have the inspections. And simply what he wants to do is have the ability to have two small apartments in the back of his house without altering kind of the character of the neighborhood. Mr. Melton, would you like to come forward?
Pardon?
Come on up here, please.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Melton's coming up. How many apartments are we talking about?
Oh, I mean one. One. I got the next one, and so I'm thinking of them together. There's just one in the back, so I'm sorry. Because he's got the lot across the street that he bought, too, and he did the same thing, too. So I misspoke about two. I'm thinking about we're doing these at the same time. Thank you, Ms. Robinson. So it would be a two-bedroom. Were you able to hear what I said to the committee?
Yeah.
Hold on just for a second, Mr. Melson. Identify yourself for the record, please.
Paige Melson from Harbison.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Yes.
Mr. Melson, I just want to ask you a very simple question, and then they might have questions. You heard my representations to the commission about the property where you're living now, the green roof property and the garage behind it. Is that essentially what you want to do, be able to use the back as an apartment?
Correct.
Okay. That's all I have, gentlemen.
All right, sir. Well, thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Willard, who's living in the house now?
Right now, in the main house? Right now, Mr. Melson's living in the house, and there's a woman living upstairs in the house. Is that correct, Mr. Melson?
Yeah, a friend. Yeah.
So is it being rented now, or upstairs, or is it just a friend staying there?
Pardon?
Is it just a friend staying there?
Correct.
Okay. Now, are we talking about the second floor of the garage, or?
Yeah. Can you tell Mr. Johnson, please, how the garage for the property with the green roof will be configured? It's my understanding there are two bedrooms upstairs and a kitchen, and the bottom will be used as a garage. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. There's two different properties, but they're owned by the same family.
We're just talking about the property where you live now.
Property where I live, two-bedroom apartment on the second floor, and the first level would be strictly for automobiles, fire-coated sheetrock when it's finished off. It's got the wiring, electric, and it's in the finishing process. But there won't be any occupant, just be used as a garage downstairs. Very small apartment upstairs.
And who's going to be using the garage?
Pardon?
Who will be using the garage?
I will.
You will be. Okay, not the tenants over top the garage.
Pardon?
Not the people that will be renting upstairs.
No. No.
And are we talking about a single family?
It would have to be two or three people. It couldn't be too big.
I'm sorry. I indicated a condition we're proposing to you that it would be, and your code defines family, similar to what family court does, that it would be a family, but we restricted it to a family of no more than five.
Five people in a two-bedroom apartment.
If you want to make it four, fine. I think
the ordinance states no more than four.
Than four.
Unrelated. Family members are no magic
number. That's fine.
So if you put five on family, it can be a restriction.
Yeah, that's fine. Four would be appropriate. I thought five was a little much myself.
And are you aware of any other properties in the Harbison area where there's multifamily housing?
I'm not, Ms. Johnson. It's not an excuse. I got into this kind of late. I went down and I took the pictures this morning. And I drive through there every day. It used to be Three Star Deli and the commercial across the street and the graveyard. And can you answer that question? Do you know if there are any other properties near or next to you where they have a house, maybe with an apartment in the rear of it?
Well, there was a property. I don't know who owns it. It's about a half mile from me, maybe not quite that far. There was family living in the front, and then there was people living in another building on the same property. I don't know whose property it is. That's right down from me on the same side. Probably about half a mile, maybe not that far.
And is it your intent to continue living in the house?
Correct.
So your intent is not to further subdivide the house that you live in?
No, what my situation is, I have two sons, and I'm primarily interested in having the garage apartments. I've been having some health problems, and I was more or less, I've got two sons, so I was looking for a place for them, where they could be close by to look in on me. That's primarily family, in other words.
I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Mr. Burton.
You mentioned that there was a separate well and separate septic for this garage?
No. As I understand it, there was recently two new wells drilled. Let's just talk about this property. There was a new well drilled on this property which services both the garage and the existing home.
Okay.
And there's one septic that serves the garage and the existing home. And it's my understanding that was the pre-existing situation, but I have no way to confirm that with drawings or permits or anything like that. Maybe because it pre-existed and it's so old. I'm just relying on what Mr. Melson tells me.
Okay. And to get to this garage apartment, are you going through the garage, or is it?
I believe that, can you answer that? Is there an exterior door and interior stairs to get to upstairs?
Yeah, there's an exterior door that's separate from the rest of the garage. Access, you're talking about access to get to the second level.
Getting upstairs.
Yeah.
You don't have to go in the garage to do
that. No.
I have no further questions.
Answer, thank you. Mr. Gordy.
Just to follow up on Mr. Burton's question about the septic. Was the septic constructed with the apartment being in mind, or do you have to go through DENREC to get approval on it?
I didn't understand completely the question.
The septic system you have now, was it built for the house and in mind the apartment, or do you have to do a whole new septic system?
What actually is the situation in both properties with the garage apartments? There was bathrooms in each of the properties that were tied in to the septic system that was there existing.
Okay, so it was designed for that in mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because both the buildings were built primarily where the older buildings were torn down and built right over, and there was plumbing going right into the septic system.
That's all the question.
Mr. Gordy, just to follow up on his answer, and I know the lady in the back I spoke recently, that was a concern of hers, and she said she had a letter from DENREC, and I haven't seen it, but, you know, saying there was no permitting, and we may have to determine more clearly what's going on in reference to the inspection when First State does their final on it. But it looks like it's a pre-existing situation.
Okay. That's all I have, Mr. Wheatley.
Okay. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Any thoughts or considerations as to who will be maintaining the grounds, the maintenance, the general upkeep of what appears to be nice fencing and garden areas, the driveway?
Yeah, Mr. Melson owns the property, and he'll be responsible for it. I guess he hasn't come up with any leases or things like that.
Retired, and I have a man that works for me, and we maintain both properties. You know, the grass cutting, garbage removal, and anything needs to be done in either property.
And the color pictures do it better justice, but it's I would suggest well maintained, and you'll see from the other property it is too. He's put a considerable amount of money in the property fixing it up, and they were rather old.
A question for Mr. Robertson, just if about the proposed conditions and putting on there no more than four people, if the commission were to act favorably on this, does a condition like that, does that come into conflict with the state mandated landlord-tenant code? If you have someone in there and stranger things have happened, someone gets pregnant and there's a new family member that comes on, are they evicted or their landlord?
I think it would cause a problem. I mean, there's certain processes that you'd have to follow for an eviction, that are going to be governed by the landlord-tenant code. It also causes a problem for enforcement for the county. I don't know how, in that situation.
Wouldn't landlord-tenant, state-mandated, wouldn't that trump whatever conditions the county would put on?
Well, in terms of due process that somebody would have for an eviction, yeah, I think that landlord-tenant code would trump the county's requirements. In other words, I don't know. I haven't researched it, but, there's specific procedures that you'd have to follow through the landlord-tenant code if you have a tenant that you're trying to evict. So,
thank you.
I think what would happen would be that the property owner would receive an enforcement action, and then the property owner then would have to deal with the landlord-tenant code as far as their tenant's concerned. That's probably the way it would work out.
Okay, Mr. Lang?
I don't have any questions. I did make an observation. If this use is approved, or even if it's not, there's a need to go through the Board of Adjustment for a variance in the side yard setback. They're required to be at least 10.
Well, it's 9.6, and your MR is 1010. You're right, Mr. Lankin.
It says it's 7.5 on this survey.
Mm-hmm. For the side yard?
Mm-hmm. Side yard is required to be 10.
Well, our position on that, and again, is both these properties were put on footprints, but for the fact that this one...
But it would have expanded, and it
expanded
exceeds
the
square footage.
And what your code says is you can offer a non-conforming use...
If you go to Board of Adjustment.
Well, I'm saying if Mr. Lang says we got to go to the Board of Adjustment, we're going to go to the Board of Adjustment.
You do. I just put you on notice.
And that's not a problem because the other one's 9.6. And what I'm learning is, well, they just...
I want to interrupt for a second here. I know we've got two applications, but please stop making references to two lots, two applications, and to the other one because it's confusing me, and I suspect I'm not the only one. The application in front of us right now is number 1729. That's right. Really the only one we need to hear about it right now. So even if it's at the risk of you having to repeat everything all over again, and I appreciate that, but I'm just concerned that people are getting confused, and the idea is somehow that we should be looking at these together, and that's not what we're doing. I'm not saying that you're making that suggestion. I'm just concerned that with all the cross reference between one, two, and the others.
I'm guilty of that. I've absorbed this.
Here's the deal. The drawing that you presented us with shows a setback of being 7.5 feet. The code requires 10. The code does permit you to build back and alter an existing footprint, but you have to go through the Board of Adjustments for that.
Okay.
So that's all Mr. Lank was trying to point out.
Okay.
All right. Do you have anything else, Mr. Lank?
That's all.
Okay. Mr. Kautz?
Just one question. I'm not quite sure. The gross square footage of the living area for the accessory apartment?
Do you have that? Because it's just on the second floor. The total for the first floor is 1,200.
The dimensions of the building make it 1,200 square feet, but what's the living area?
Probably 700 square foot. I'm just estimating because the roof's going up, you're losing space on the second level. Yeah, got 1,200.
Second
on the
level
first
is where the unit is, right?
Correct. We don't have that exact figure. He's estimating about 700.
Okay. The only reason I bring that up is we had consideration, and I guess it's still under consideration, a garage accessory unit ordinance. And just for guidance to the commission, under that ordinance, 800 square feet would be the maximum square footage that would be allowed.
Maximum or minimum?
Maximum. Not containing not more than 800 square feet.
Okay. Proposed 19 in 2005.
Yeah,
still pending.
Right.
It's still pending.
Right. It's not in effect now, but just as by way of comparison to give some some idea.
Okay. Anything else?
That's all.
Okay. Mr. Abbott,
no questions.
Council.
Yeah. Is there any plans? Are they going to be condominiums or apartments?
The only plan is just to have a rental apartment.
Okay.
No condos.
Are there separate meters for utilities and power? I guess there's not sewers.
Correct.
Okay. I'm a little concerned that I'd like the commission to think about that Deseret permitting issue because I hear what you're saying. There was a bathroom there, but I think that's different than a single family or multifamily dwelling with kitchen, you know, and additional facilities. I know that might be something the commission wants to take a little further look at.
Well, I'm going to ask a few questions about that.
You know, and I will say just as a reminder to the commission that this is just a neutral comment. You know, if it's approved for two multifamily dwellings, it's two multifamily dwellings regardless of who lives in one or the other. I mean, that's the approval. So,
and okay.
No, thanks. That's
that it?
Yeah, thanks.
All right, sir. Thank you. Just a couple things. I want to go back to the septic issue. But first of all, let me just ask Mr. Lank, refresh and remind all of us, and me included, the basic difference between an MR and an AR zoning is what?
The MR is the most restrictive district, residential. It could allow with sewer up to four units per acre. In this case, it's septic, so it would be where this lot already exists, so it's not a lot issue. And it's basically primarily residential, but you have a conditional use process that allows you to apply for multifamily use.
Okay.
That they have the right to apply for what they've applied for.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's, I just want to make sure we were clear on what could be done and what could be asked for. So now on the you have you're suggesting that the septic system somehow was designed for the use that you're proposing now. Do you have anything that documents that? Is there a permit and permit drawings or design drawings that show that this thing was built to serve to, or do you have anything that from Denrec that would tell us that? I understand that you're thinking it was because it was hooked up, but I think we all know that a great many garage apartments have been hooked up without the knowledge or consent of anybody. And I'm not suggesting that yours were or they weren't. I'm just asking this, do you have anything that tells us that?
The only thing I can tell you, sir, is as far as I know, both each different unit, you said, mm-hmm. The septic tank is 1,500 square foot. And the gentleman that did the work has passed away, but there were new tile fills put in for both units. Tile fills or
training fills. Is there a permit for that, or was that done on Saturday afternoon?
There you go. As far as I know, I don't have a permit.
It's okay. All right. That's all I was trying to find out. Okay.
Go ahead. If I could have gotten my hands on one before today, I certainly would have produced one, and we were unable to. So,
right. And in regard to the limiting of the number of folks that can be in the garage apartment, that really what, and this may be a question for you, Mr. Lank, what, if anything, limits what can happen in the house? Are they subject to the same four unrelated people?
The ordinance provides that in a residential structure, you can have an unlimited number of related family members or four unrelated people.
Okay.
So it says they four unrelated.
Okay.
But family-wise, it's
been and how far out on the branches of the family tree do
it's
we...
It's almost impossible to enforce.
Yeah, it's an enforcement issue.
They have a problem with it at the beach more than anywhere else.
Yeah, I understand.
Would it be appropriate, let me just interject to our council, would it be appropriate to define this as an apartment? Because that ties back into the code that has a specific definition.
I was getting to another question I had. The situation in the main house right now, from what you have said, it seems that there are living facilities on the first floor and living facilities on the second floor. Is there, in fact, a kitchen on the second floor now, or in separate bathroom facilities? I mean, is it in fact being used as an apartment now, or is it or not? We made reference somebody was living upstairs.
Yeah. Both units are separate electric, separate everything, stove. They're separate
in
units.
In the house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
Right.
Outside stairway, separate outside stairway.
Okay. Okay.
What I'm suggesting, if there were an idea to approve it.
Is that legal, for one thing? Is that under the code, can you do that?
Yeah.
In an MR zone,
just ask me that. Hey,
yeah.
It's a very good question, and when your question may beg the answer, but once again, when I'm asking Mr. Melson about this, he indicates to me that when he bought the house, that's how it existed.
It may be.
So the only way to respond would be to violate them. Then we'd have to. We would have to prove a pre-existing, which we're not kind of here to do, we're prepared to do today.
Yeah, we're just trying to find out what is there and what could be there, because what I'm sure that, I know you understand, Mr. Willard, and I suspect your client does too, but it does bear repeating, that the action that we take with a conditional use will survive you and your family and all that, okay? The issue is that whatever is permitted is going to be permitted for anyone. Right now, you're presenting it to us as being something that you're doing for your family and all that stuff, and that's great. The thing is, eventually, that circumstance will change. And then what you essentially have are three rental units on a single-family home lot, okay? And that's what we're, I think that's the concern and the situation that we're all trying to get our arms around.
What I was trying to offer is assuming there's an approval, I mean, obviously if it's not approved, that's a different issue.
Right.
But if there's a,
if
it were approved, rather than approve it as a multiple family, which could leave it wide open to any interpretation, could it be approved as a garage? The application comes as multiple family, but it could be a conditional approval as a garage apartment. And that would come with it the limitations of what the definition of an apartment is. And
I would suspect, because it's conditional use, that the commission has wide latitude on stipulations and so on, so we could probably at least be stipulating.
If that would help with the concerns of the commission.
Of apartment, I'm not sure that there's a definition of garage apartment right now.
An apartment in a garage. I mean,
you can define it
however you want
by stipulation,
define.
Though, right. For this application.
But as an apartment rather than as a multiple family unit.
Yeah, we could just do it. We could just do it by stipulation. You could define it by stipulation. Now, it wouldn't have any application outside this conditional use, but we could do it.
Just to Mr. Lanker, I guess Mr.
Sure.
Abbott. It looks like the subject area is because this is actually the lot looks like it's split MRAR. Do we know for sure that everything that's in here is in MR1?
It's in the MR. If you notice the depth of the change is at the rear of the adjoining lot, which is the property.
Yeah, I couldn't tell for sure. That's why I was wondering, because it doesn't show up on the survey. All right, that's just I wanted to make sure.
I'm just looking at the application. Mr. Melson, in his handwriting, it says apartment over garage. And because of the way that it's listed under the code, we automatically put multifamily dwelling structures, two units.
Because there's no other choice.
We reported that there was, because the survey shows a house and a garage. And
right, apartment. And an apartment is within the definition of multifamily, so that's
it
all pulls it together that way. But I think you could still stipulate it that it'd be specifically an apartment as opposed to a condominium if you want to.
Right. Okay. Anyone else have any questions at this point?
Well, I just want to clarify one thing.
Yeah.
The driveway extension, I assume, is it correct to assume that that's for the parking that's associated with that would be for the exclusive use of the resident of the apartment? The nod is yes.
Yeah, Mr. Melson, he's indicating that exclusively would be used for the whoever lives up there?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. All right, then. If you gentlemen would stand aside for a moment, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1729, Paige Melson? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1729? Yes, ma'am. And sir. Come right up.
Good afternoon. My name is Maida Graves, and I live in Harbison, just on the southwest side of the railroad tracks. And the one thing is, I've lived there for over 25 years.
How close is it to the subject property, to the applicant's property? Just to give us some idea.
I live a quarter mile from the light, so maybe an eighth of a mile.
Okay.
So,
right, just trying to get an idea of where you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that.
Okay, go ahead.
And I'm here in opposition of his application for the multi-use of this piece of property, due partly because that's not the nature of our neighborhood. There are no, and within the area right around here, there are no other multi-dwelling homes up and down the street at all. They're all single-family homes. They're out that on the highway. We do have some commercial, and we do have, and the poultry plant has been there for 50 years or more, so that's always been there. And the biggest one of my big concerns is with the wastewater disposal on these two pieces of property. Now, the one where he lives, the previous owners were Jimmy and Peggy Veazey. I knew them most a big part of my life. I've been to that house many, many times. There was no apartment upstairs. It was bedrooms, and they had a pool table upstairs. You know, he said that that was the way when he bought it, but when Jimmy and Peggy lived there for many years, and they used to own the lawnmower shop, that was a single-family home, and that's it, and a garage. Nothing else was there. So since I was concerned with that, I contacted the Department of Natural Resources. And I have a letter from them, and I'll give it out to everybody. I have a copy.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I would have given you one anyway. If she did.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, I contacted Mr. Jim Cassidy with the Department of Natural Resources, and he works in Georgetown in the wastewater division. And I told him the names of the properties, and he looked them up. And as you can see, the letter says, at your request, he searched the groundwater discharge section database in an attempt to find an existing permits for on-site disposal systems on the above referenced parcels. Now, this is both, well, I know we're working on one, but this letter does include both the parcels. And he found no permits on record from 1985 to present. After communicating this information to me, I contacted the Sussex County Tax Assessment Office, and I went down there and I got printouts of the cards of all the past owners of the properties, all the way back to 1966. So he looked it back up again, and he did not see any permits. They have no records back to 1968, which is how far Denerec's records go back, of what is on either one of those properties. They have nothing. So as you can see, he, their division, having found no records of system installation and no record of request for authorization to use an existing system, it is in the position of the groundwater division that any request to allow greater flow to the existing system by adding to unto the existing dwelling or allowing additional living space to be created by converting the use of existing non-living space be denied. So as you can see with this, Mr. Melson has not applied for any permits to increase the discharge capacity for either one of those parcels. Now, I've lived there for 25 years, and there's, you know, always the both pieces of property have been single family homes, and there's been no other apartments or anything else there. Thank you. Any questions?
Did you, one question. Were you, is it your opinion or your thought that there was no bathroom in this other previous garage?
No, there were no bathrooms in there. I never saw any bathrooms in there. And I've been on the property that we're talking about right now many times.
Okay, I just want to know what you thought. Okay, all right, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Ma'am, thank you. Yes, sir.
I'm Bob Lawson, President of Harbison Improvement Association. On February 21st, 7 p.m., we had a meeting at the church hall. We invited Paige Melson to attend to show us what he planned, since most of us received some type of information in the form of a letter from the gentleman here. Paige presented maps, drawings, and discussed the application with us. After Paige left, it was moved, seconded, and voted on to oppose this application unanimously. Reasons: no existing multifamily dwellings exist in Harbison. Since single family unit is a profile of Harbison, we would like to keep it that way. We do not want Harbison to become a sectional housing. The plan drawing of 1729 that we have or that I received, and I think that's everyone else received the same one, does not show any of the living area. All it shows is the blank floor space of the bottom floor, which I think we've been led to believe will be used for parking of Mr. Melson's personal vehicles. The upstairs shows nothing as far as what is planned to be up there for the multiple family units. Secondly, there was misconstrued numbers on the highway application or whatever the formal name of that. They were talking about 404, and this property is only on Route 5, known as Harbison Road. I don't know what the problem is there, why it would be different.
The comments are related to Indian Mission Road, which is from Route 48 to 9.
48 to 9.
That's where they do their camp. That's where they base their camp from. But so Route 9 would be the light at Harbison, and 48 would be Indian Mission.
All right, then.
That's where they camp from.
Yeah, well, it's Harbison Road. There's a discrepancy there.
Name might be wrong.
Yep. Right. So maybe that's what I picked up. But anyway, maybe it is accurate then. And the other thing I do not understand, but I think some of you gentlemen have picked up on this, that whether he is applying for one, two, or three family units, because he's living in the house, got a person living on the second floor, and then he wants a third unit in the garage, and that's the way I understand it. I, again, along with Maida, have been in this house many, many times. I've been upstairs. I have played pool on the pool table, and there was no running water.
You win?
I'm not a good pool player, sorry. And there was no food served up there, cooking or anything on the second floor.
Now, when we're talking about the second floor, because I want to make this clear from before, too. We're talking about the second floor of the garage or the second floor of the house?
House.
Second floor of the house?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm
all right.
Almost positive of house 1729.
Right. Now, what about the garage or the second floor of the garage? That's what everybody wants to know. Was there running water or a bathroom in that?
Any time I've ever been in it or around it, no. There was none to my knowledge. And so there was nothing up there that I knew of. And I don't know if this can be done. I would like to be kept informed of this action, since I have to report back to the people in Harbison if there's any way that I can.
Well, what you'll need to do is to just continue to watch. You're welcome to call the office and talk with them.
They don't want to hear from me every day.
Well, but they're not going to call you either.
Okay.
I mean, because if we did that, that's all we'd be doing.
Okay.
You know, so no one is going to call you, but you're welcome to call them. You're also welcome to look on the website and watch the future agendas. We may not make a decision on this today,
mm-hmm.
which means it will be put back on for a decision at some future time.
Mm-hmm.
So that would probably be the best way to...
Commission doesn't take any action unless it's in public session.
Yeah,
so
but nothing will be
agenda.
Done unless
it'll be
it's
an
a public
agenda.
Meeting. Yeah. You'll see it on the agenda. It'll be listed on the agenda under old business.
Okay.
And
the website's the easiest way.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is a conditional use where we make a recommendation to County Council. County Council will make the final decision.
Right.
But they usually will wait for our recommendation before they do anything. I'm sure the public hearing's already been scheduled.
Yeah, it's already scheduled.
Yeah.
Public hearing with the council is scheduled for
March 18th. This is the first step of the two-step. This is the semifinals, and then the finals will be in front of county council.
Okay.
It's the Delaware two-step. Sussex County's two-step.
Any questions for me?
Just how many people were at this meeting that you had?
There were I think it was 12 total, probably representing 15, 18 properties.
What was that date again, Bob? The date of your meeting with the...
The date of the meeting?
The 21st, I think you said.
Yes, I believe that's correct.
February.
February 21st, 7 p.m. in the Harbison Church Hall.
Okay, I just missed that.
Todd wondered. Yeah. Okay, sir. Anything else, gentlemen? All right, sir, we thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? Being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office tomorrow.